good works, good deeds, good actions. It kind of flows from the study that at least the last couple of classes that Steve has had concerning denominationalism and faith and works and that sort of thing. So I wanted to delve deeper into the idea of the works, and what's the application of those? Rarely found in Scripture. Of course, numerous places in Scripture. And again, you back your lesson, it's a back and front lesson, so be aware of that. You know, in everyday life, we make decisions. And in Scripture, life is shown there also. And all of those things we do in life and those people in Scripture and moving, there's always action involved. Things they decide to do, things they decide not to do, things they put off, and their comings and goings and that sort of thing. And so we make decisions, and sometimes we act on it, and sometimes we don't act on it. But even when you don't act on it, that's still an action, isn't it? So we make decisions that are logical, or some illogical. We make decisions that are sometimes forced upon us. But all these decisions have actions associated with them, deeds associated with them, work associated with them. So as we go through this lesson, we can think about that. Many times our actions reflect relationships we're in. We're in relationships with who? What kind of relationships are we in? Family relationships, okay? Kin, I'll call it kinfolk, okay? We got relationships with government. We got employment, a work situation. There's so relationships there that we have. Neighbors. We have a relationship with ourselves, don't we? Sometimes that's the one that we really have to deal with. So there's a lot of different relationships that we deal with. And sometimes relationships are a reflection of things that are happening right now at this moment. Sometimes decisions and actions we take are things that are going to occur in the future. Sometimes we're forced into things that happened in the past. So there's a lot of actions and deeds that we do that make those kind of associations in time. There's another relationship, a spiritual relationship. And that's the relationship when we have our head on right, okay? That's the primary one. But sometimes we've got to be careful that we don't view it as a co-equal relationship that we have. Co-equal works. Do we rank our spirituality? Do we prioritize our spirituality and the things that we do, the works? Shouldn't, but we do, don't we? Okay. And things is just, you know, family. We talk about family, things like that. And you just have to put things off sometimes or get ahead of the curve. But there's always the priorities involved. And God knows that. How much of the spiritual relationship we had control or govern our lives? Well, we can all answer that, can't we? In the positive. Okay? So those things we need to be aware of. Does our actions of faith requires us to ask us, do we rank our effort? Our effort. We chose a while ago, but there's a certain amount of effort we do put forth in the works that we do, the good works we do, the good deeds we do. So we got to think about that in life too, don't we? Sometimes we think about, the world likes to rank things in good, better, best. Silver, gold, platinum. And do we rank Christianity, that relationship, that way, or should we? There's only, you know, one way or another, isn't there? So we should be careful of that in our life and the way we walk and how we do things. Are you a good Christian? Or are you a Christian? You ever use that term? Sometimes the world uses that. Okay? And that's a ranking. We shouldn't do that. So it's a thing to think about. Does God, in his example, request that we just get by? We do a minimal effort when we're doing works, when we're doing good deeds. No, he doesn't, does he? Jesus was a good example of that. They were not minimal efforts. Minimal efforts. When we think about good works, let's think about being righteous actions. Let's think about having moral actions. Righteous actions and moral actions. Let's think about that as we do deeds in life. Should we always take the high ground in our dealings in spirituality? Certainly should. Should we always work to accomplish the deeds of our Creator? Yes. Okay. Thinking about that. We want to please God, and we want His approval in the things we do. And we'll see in the manner of this course that good works, good actions, good deeds are part and parcel with that, pleasing God. Do doing good works and good deeds in the Scriptures, does it make us a better person? Does it make us a person you want to be around? Does it make for a better family? Got that aspect to it, doesn't it? Okay? Would we then value ourselves and value others? Sure we would. So all that is good works. Good works. Moral excellence. Righteous actions. So, these good works have God's approval, and through faith and grace, we can be given the crown of life after death. That's the problem. Yes, sir? Yes, yes. Other people can influence us, can't they? Good, too. So we have to be aware of that when we put ourselves into action doing things, okay? When we do deeds. And God has said those are good deeds, good works. You'll see that over and over. Now for your lesson. In the Scriptures, you have basically three main uses for the idea of works. And I have here works of God, works of Jesus, and works of you and I and all people. So what's interesting on this first group, the works of God, they're defined not only by the abstract, oh, he's omnipotent, all-powerful, but also by God's actions as evidence that Jehovah is absolutely unique from every and all other so-called deities, other so-called gods. And I got some scriptures that kind of deal with that, a lot in the Old Testament here. And that first one is Deuteronomy 3:24. O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your strong hand. For what small g God is there in heaven or on earth who can do such works and mighty acts as yours? Jehovah God of the Bible does these mighty acts and mighty works. And in the next verse I have there, Deuteronomy 11:2, but this day that I am not speaking with your sons, there's Moses talking to those older people who had seen these great miracles and great mighty acts, knowing this day that I am not speaking with your sons who have not known and who have not seen the discipline of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his outstretched arm, and his signs and his works, which he did in the midst of Egypt, to Pharaoh the king of Egypt, and to all his land. And what he did to Egypt's army, God did this with a mighty hand. To its horses and its chariots, when he made the water of the Red Sea to engulf them while they were pursuing you. And the Lord completely destroyed them. And what he did to you in the wilderness until you came to this place. And what he did to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the son of Reuben, when the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them. Their households, their tents, and every living thing followed them among all Israel. But your own eyes have seen all the great work of the Lord which he did. So even in the old scriptures, in the Old Testament, God's mighty hand was there. He did those works. Why did he do those works? To benefit, to protect, to guide, to show who he was, rely on him, trust in this Jehovah God. And for many years they did, but they had times that they regressed. But at least Moses is recognizing here, remember what God has done for you. And I'll just deal a Exodus 15:11, who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders? So again, that's just additional idea concerning that, okay, that he is mighty and great. And then if I can skip down to Psalms 77:11, I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse or meditate on your deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your strength among the peoples. You have by your power redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. And then again, the next verses, just about the seas and the skies and lightning and clouds and that sort of thing that respond to the call of this Jehovah God. So there's a great power in these works of God that we can see. Now, in number two, we've got works of Jesus. Works of Jesus. And in these works, Jesus revealed by his actions, yes, he taught who he was, but he revealed by his actions, his deeds, that he was both the Messiah and deity, the only begotten Son of God. And in Matthew 11, verse 2, now when John, while imprisoned, heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else? Jesus answered and said to them, go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who does not take offense at me. So just in that case, a good summary of all the things, of the works that Jesus did to prove, in fact, who he was. Who he was. Were the works important to do that? Yes. Yes, many people claim to be the Messiah, the Jesus, as we see today. But you need those proof of the works. Yes, sir. Yes, a resurrection is the truth, isn't it? Certainly the evidence that we can be resurrected. Yes, he did. If you didn't hear that, Linda was just saying that Jesus had a goal. He had a usage for his time and his efforts to do the work of the Father, to do the work of the Father, to accomplish those things in perfect. And again, that means he was in perfect unity to the Father, also proved his deity also. Now, and I think I shall, I can see some other points. We'll move on from that. And now, and number three, works of you and I and all people. These actions are rooted in the rule and sovereign nature of the Creator and judge of everything, both seen and unseen. You and I have works. They're shown in the Scripture. What kind of works do we have? What kind of deeds do we have? In Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men in such a way that what? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Okay? And therefore glorify your Father. So there's something that we do, we have responsibility for, okay, as instructions to glorify the Father by good works. In 22:36, this is one we had a full course on a while back. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Of these two commandments depend the whole law and prophets. How do you love? Works involved? Good works involved? Good actions? Sure it is. That's the point, isn't it? Starts with the mental part of it, okay? The faith and belief, and this is what God wants. But to put that in action, it takes action to do that. So those are, to fulfill those commandments, action is required. And in James 2:14, what use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works, can that faith save him? Can it save him? And 21-26, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scriptures are fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, it was reckoned to him as righteousness. So there's a relationship, and again, that goes back to the class that Steve was having. Now, works of God, works of Jesus, works that we have to do, shine our lights. But also in Scripture, you know what? There's works that aren't always good, are there? There's some bad works, okay? Disapproved works, actions that we can do. And I just took Matthew 7, 16 and 15, beginning. Beware of the false prophets who came to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. The second time that phrase is used in this group of verses. Judgment concerns the fruit, the bad deeds, unapproved deeds, deeds that aren't righteous, deeds that are not moral. Those things we need to be aware of, and there are people out there that have these. And my last verse dealing with these good and bad is in Galatians chapter 5. And here it's the deeds. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, deeds of the flesh. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousies, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. Approved? No. No, these are not. Things that shouldn't be in our character. Of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, on the other hand, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control is actions, isn't it? Sure. Against such things, there is no law. So, works. Works that are associated every day in our life, pertaining to our relationships we have, pertaining to the situation we're in at that moment. Works, works. God knows our works. God knows our actions. Now, in part A of this lesson, and to begin with, what should we understand about works? About good works, our actions. What should we understand? I referenced Hebrews 11 there, and Steve mentioned that this last Sunday. And he did in the, he referenced verse 39 as pleasing God. But 2 and 6, excuse me, verses, or 6 he said was pleasing God, but 2 and 39 deal with the approval of God. How do we gain the approval of God? By pleasing God with our actions. This is again in reference and a backdrop and a lead-in for this whole chapter in Hebrews 11 about those who exercise good works and approved for that. Now, all these verses coming up in this section pretty well revolve around one point. It's something we need to understand about works, good deeds, that there's a judgment involved on those from God Almighty, that those are going to be judged. It's not a casual thing. It's extremely important. Again, that bases itself in the decisions that we make each day and the actions we take from those. Do we know that God knows the thoughts and intents of our heart? Yes. Does he know that we attempt to do things from time to time and somehow it didn't quite work out to do good works? Yes. But should we always strive to be what we should be? Yes. Okay? Now, 1 Peter 1:17 through 19, it says, God impartially judges each one's work. Conduct yourselves in fear. What starts off with the idea of God impartially judges each man's work? What's impartiality? What's the point? Prejudice? Sure. Favoritism? Did you see that in the new converts, even in the leadership, when the Jews are converting Gentiles? Was there prejudice? Sure there was. Okay? God doesn't have that. God impartially judges each one's work. Each one's work. And now, conduct yourselves in fear. What's fear in this case? Fear of the Lord, fear of judgment, isn't it? That's the context we're in, okay? And is that incentive? Yeah, even though we haven't experienced it yet, have we? Maybe some chastisement, but we haven't experienced that yet. But if we believe in Jesus, then we believe in eternal punishment, don't we? So we need to live our lives with that in mind. Now, if we're in fear of punishment, there's an awareness involved in that. Is that a part-time awareness? Shouldn't be, should it? Okay? Because when we start thinking part-time awareness of how that we're going to be judged by our good works, then that gives Satan an opportunity, doesn't it? See? So it's a full-time job, isn't it? Okay? Full-time attention that we need to give it. Now, and again, so we saw no impartiality. Do we strive to be without prejudice? And how do we do that? How can we live to be without prejudice in our lives, dealing with other people? Love our neighbors like we should. Helping others, okay? Helping people, no matter what they wear, how they talk, where they're born, any other aspect you want to think about, okay? And we need to think about that. Does that go into who we would teach? Do we need prejudice on who we would teach the gospel to? No. Did not Jesus teach prostitutes? Did not teach the poor? Did not teach the leaders? Did not try to teach the apostles, okay, and the disciples. So this message is open to all. So no prejudice there. You can deal with kindness. You can respect others because we're all made in the image of God. And we need to remember that. Remember that in Genesis 9. Now, in number 2 there, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, all before the judgment seat of Christ, according to what one has done, good or bad. We reviewed a minute ago about good and bad. We've got the instructions for that, don't we? Okay, we've got the examples of that. All will be judged. All before the judgment seat. Without exceptions, with no prejudice. Is God's justice blind? It's blind in reference to prejudice, isn't it? That's right. Equal justice. Equal justice. Okay? Equal access. And we should have the same idea. That whatever your past life was, let it go. Jesus let that go. Okay? Repent and change. Community status, whatever it is, we need to strive to do God's good works. Good works. Now, the next one, Romans 14, 10 through 12. All stand before the judgment seat of God. Each one will give account. That's pretty sobering words. Almost all people, all will stand before the judgment seat. Each one will give account. True words. Now, is all everyone? Yes. So let's think about that as we see here in Scripture that it does, in fact, I believe everyone will stand before that judgment seat. When it says everyone, does that mean we're viewed as a group? Individually, doesn't it? Okay? Let's make sure we don't think that way. Because we will stand before the judgment seat. Not we as a group, but we as individuals. So let's remember that as you go through life. Now, and there's the next couple of these, Matthew 16, 27, and Revelation 22, 12. It's a kind of saying the same thing. It says, the Son of Man to come and will then repay every man according to his deeds. And number 5, Revelation 22, 12, I am coming to render to every man according to what he has done. The Son of Man's coming. He's going to judge. And when he judges, it's going to be according to your deeds. According to your deeds. So all these are what things we should understand about works. Sobering words. But I didn't write these. They're here on multiple occasions in the Scriptures that we've all committed to. Now, in number 6, back in Ecclesiastes 12:14, For God will bring every act to judgment. Who's bringing it? Deity is going to bring every act to judgment. Every action to judgment. And what's interesting here, that God's going to judge our action, Ecclesiastes, under the sun. Everyday lives can put the reference there for us. Because we're judged in this life under the sun. So even in the Old Testament, in that verse, judgment depends on our actions. Judgment involves our actions. Is God consistent now, what we've seen so far in the Old Testament and New Testament about judgment? Yes. Okay. God hadn't changed. God hadn't changed. Live by faith. Live by faith. Okay. Revelation 14:13. Yes, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them. You know, what's interesting here in the Revelation letter is that he's talking about those who die in the Lord. In the Lord. Saved? Yes. Okay? And their deeds follow with them, and they can rest from their labors. Labors, their works, their good works, their good deeds. They can rest from that. Seems to indicate there's a struggle in there. Is it a struggle to do good deeds and good works time to time, to keep that ever on your mind, whatever situation you're in? Some people more than others. But it's always a struggle. And these days, you know, the Roman government and Judaizing preachers and everyone else, okay? Not to mention, these may be first-generation converts dealing with family. So a lot of things they had to deal with. And again, you can rest from your labors, for their deeds follow with them. God will never forget your deeds. He's not going to mix your deeds with others. He's not going to forget about your deeds. God is perfect in that. You'll be judged perfectly on that. All right. And if I may add to that, the idea that you're not judged by the deeds of your father, are you? Or your mother? You judge what you do. You do. Okay. Revelation 20:12, the book of life opened. Dead were judged according to their deeds. Okay. I'm more or less saying the same thing, except this book of life, when you have books, it's a perfect record in this case, isn't it? Perfect historical record, okay, of your life. And we need to remember that God does not forget. And what's interesting, the dead are judged, just as a side point. If you're dealing with life after death, some people say there is no life after death. You may be believing the Bible. Well, here it is. How can the dead be judged after they're dead, if they're just dead? So just interesting proof along those lines. Again, dealing with eternal life and the resurrection. All right. Number 9, John 12:48. The words of God will judge you at the last day. We've talked about that. We are judged like it's a test. It's a very hard test in life. We see by the life of Paul that it was hard for him to do good works. He traveled around for the others who talked of Christ and the gospel. So what do we do? What do we do when the words of God will judge us on the last day? John 12:48. What do we do with scriptures then? Are they valuable? Yes. And again, Ephesians 6:8, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, he will receive back from the Lord. God knows he won't forget. Remember that. You will be rewarded for that. And 3 John 11, the one who does good is of God, and the one who does evil has not seen God. Well, that's the idea that, what? Okay? Seeing God is what? Believer, right? Believe in God. Believe in the proofs. You believe in those things where he exists. And there's good, does good. So follow evil, you're not of God. Now, in B part, where are these good works found? Okay? Let's understand what they are and about works. Now, where are they found? Well, I think we've said a lot there, haven't we? Okay? Where do you look for things that deal with moral excellence? Where do you look for things that are righteous actions? Where do you look for direction? What is the right behavior? Acceptable behavior. See? It's obvious. Okay? This group. And so 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture will equip one for every good work. Yes, it does, doesn't it? Okay? Equips you. I'm doing a job. Do I need the tools? Need the right tools, don't I? Do I need the right instructions? Yes. Need the right materials? Yes. We all can think and act. We've proven that. God's given us abilities for that. So we can be equipped for the master. In verse number 2 and number 3 for that. Prepared for every good work. So we are given the equipment, fully equipped to do these good works. We're not on our own guessing. That's comforting. It really is. Okay. Remember in Hebrews 13:21, Jesus equips us in every good thing to do his will. And again, what's the purpose of being equipped? Do his good will. Hebrews 13:21. Do his will. All right. And the next 2, 4, and 5, what's the teaching? Okay? Teach everywhere in every church. I direct the same in all the churches. What's the point? Consistency in it. Consistency. And if you teach the same thing in every church, every group of believers, can you achieve unity? At least you're working towards unity, aren't you? You're not the cause of disunity. And why would God's apostle be even accused of that sort of thing? But he teaches the same thing in every group or wherever he's at. Harmony, unity, consistency, no confusion, no hypocrisy. And remember that. Now, in number 6 verse, Titus 2:1, speak to things which are fitting for sound doctrine. What does sound connote to you? Truthful. Yeah. Reliable. Biblical. Okay. Has value to it, doesn't it? It's trustworthy. Something sound. How about no defects and no faults? Okay. So sound doctrine is what we need to think on. We should be able to rely on that is the point. We can rely on sound doctrine. And these, again, are scripture to deal with works when we choose our actions. Now, Revelation 22, don't add to or take away from the words of the revelation. If we understand that we have the whole counsel of God, that God breathed these words that will equip all for every good work. If we understand that by revelation from God's mind to the paper, okay, through those who are inspired and by providence preserved until today, until the end of time, if we understand that, then will we respect the word? Will we have confidence in it? Yes. Trustworthy? Yes. All those things where we can do good works, good deeds, good actions, which please God. Please God. Now, and also it said don't take away or add to. Why would anyone want to add to or take away from it? It's what they want, isn't it? If you're judged by the words and you take away or add to it, you're trying to change the standard. Sometimes we say moving the goalposts. Interesting, isn't it? So when you see that, be aware there's another motive, okay, to justify one's actions, which is what's going on. All right. Jeremiah 6:16, stand by the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. Even Jeremiah back then when he was fighting this idolatry, fighting hard this idolatry, which God had already given them the paths to walk on, already told them what things they should be doing and not doing, idolatry. But so history is a teacher, isn't it? History is a teacher. Old paths are teacher. Okay, God's not going to change. So remember that. And again, let me skip through that. About a pattern, we know that. What kind of people do these good works? Believers. Believers in Christ. I think we're just about out of time. And so you're created in Christ Jesus. Titus 2:14, Jesus redeems believers. Okay, that goes back to the sacrifice of Christ. Why the sacrifice? To redeem believers so that you can walk and be rewarded for those good works. So in your chosen race, God's possession, and keep all this in mind. And one last thing, let us not lose heart. Number 4, Galatians 6:9, in doing good, for we will reap in due time if we do not grow weary. It's difficult from time to time. Family members are away from us. Family members are a problem. We see believers. So why in the world are they doing that? They know better. You work with people, and they just like, their ears are plugged. So don't lose heart in doing good works. Raise your family. Difficult from time to time, but do good works. So thank you for your time. Thank you.